चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव शरि कौल भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
So now we're hearing about Shakuntala and her rendition of what she heard from Kanva Muni, who was her father, about how Kanva Muni ended up as her father. Here is section 72. Kanva continued, and Shakra, thus addressed by her, then commanded him who could approach every place, namely the god of wind, to be present with Menaka at the time she would be before the Rishi, right? Because Indra was worried that Kanva Muni was doing such great austerities, he was going to take his place. So generally, his solution is always send in the girls, right? So then she said she would go, but she'd need the wind god, because he would have to blow her cloth off, because otherwise she didn't know how she's going to catch him, because he was so powerful and everything like that. She just went and started talking, or dancing or that, he probably wouldn't care. And the timid and beautiful Menaka then entered the retreat and saw there Vishwamitra, who had burnt by his penances all his sins and was engaged still in ascetic penances, right? So he'd burnt the sins, now he's still engaged, that means now he's becoming powerful, right? You're doing austerities, you're burning your sins, then no one cares. But once he becomes more powerful, then they get worried, right? And also you notice here, Menaka, she's the top apsara. So that basically means they're celestial society girls, right? But notice here it says she's timid, right? So these bold, crass girls, and they're very low-class society girls, right? So here she's timid. That, therefore, she's beautiful, right? And saluting the Rishi, she then began to sport before him. Right, so she's a Rishi, so it doesn't mean that she doesn't, how do you say? To respect him, right? She's supposed to go there and attract his attention and make him fall down, but that doesn't mean that she doesn't respect him, right? So even though he's in his meditation, he doesn't see, she comes, you know, bows down or offers obeisances and that, and then goes on. So that means whatever it is you're dealing, you have to respect the position of the person. Yeah? Okay. And just at that time, Marut robbed her of her garments that were white as the moon. And as she thereupon ran, as if in great bashfulness, to catch hold of her attire, and if she was exceedingly annoyed with Marut. And she did all this before the very eyes of Vishwamitra, who was endued with energy like that of fire. And Vishwamitra saw her in that attitude, and beholding her divested of her robes, he saw that she was of faultless feature, and that Bestamuni saw that she was exceedingly handsome, with no marks of age on her person. And beholding her beauty and accomplishments, that bull amongst Rishi was possessed with lust, and made a sign that he desired her companionship. And he invited her accordingly, and she also of faultless features expressed her acceptance of this invitation. And they then passed a long time there in each other's company, and sporting with each other just as they pleased for a long time, as if it were only a single day. The Rishi begat on Menaka a daughter named Shakuntala. And Menaka, as her conception advanced, went to the banks of the river Malini, coursing along a valley of the charming mountains of the Himavat. And there she gave birth to that daughter. And she left the newborn infant on the bank of that river and went away. And beholding the newborn infant lying in that forest destitute of human beings, but abounding with lions and tigers, a number of vultures sat around to protect it from harm. No rakshasas or carnivorous animals took its life. Those vultures protected the daughter of Menaka. I went there to perform my ablution and beheld the infant lying in the solitude of the wilderness surrounded by vultures. Right? Bringing her hither, I have made her my daughter. Right? This is now she's quoting Kanva Muni, right? So Kanva Muni is explaining this to another Muni, right? So you notice that the description of their attraction and everything is very short. Because Munis is just enough to know that people get attracted. They know they don't need to hear the gory details, right? Because that's not their interest. They just wanted to know what was the cause. Does that make sense? Like that. Indeed, the maker of the body, the protector of life, the giver of food are all three fathers in their order according to the scriptures. See, very important. These three make one a father. The maker of the body, in other words, the biological father, the protector of life, someone who protects you, and the giver of food, whoever gives you food, these are considered father. These three. Write this one down. You might get tested on it. It's worth learning. What is a father? Yes. Chanakya also quotes this. Okay. The maker of the body, the protector, and the giver of food. Right? So any of those three make one father. That's why you see in the Vedic culture someone can have so many fathers, so many mothers, so many brothers, so many sisters. Right? It's like that. And they're not all biological. It's because they do the activity that, right, the father makes the body, protects you, gives you food. But it may be one makes the body, someone else protects you and gives you food. Or one does the body, one protects you, one gives you food. Or the one gives you the body and gives you food, but someone else protects you. You understand? So it can... Anyone does any of these three, then they're considered father. Does that make sense? Yes. He would also, but then that has another element like that. You know what I'm saying? You take the point is we're talking in the someone who's protecting in this relationship means it doesn't have something else added on to that. Okay? Yeah. In their order. So this is the order, right? So the one who gives the body is the first, the one who protects is the second, the one who then feeds is the third. Right? Those are the okay. This is according to scripture. And because she was surrounded in the solitude of the wilderness by Shakuntas, birds, therefore has she been named by me Shakuntala, bird protective. O Brahmana, learn that it is thus that Shakuntala hath become my daughter, and the faultless Shakuntala also regards me as her father. Right? So because he takes care of her and feeds her, so therefore he's the father. This is what, and now Shakuntala says, this is what my father had said under the Rishi, having been asked by him. O king of men, it is thus that thou must know I am the daughter of Kanva. And not knowing my real father, I regard Kanva as my father. Thus have I told thee, O king, all that hath been heard by me regarding my birth. Right? So even though she knows Vishwamitra is her father, she doesn't know him, she hasn't seen him, she hasn't interacted. So to her, Kanva is the father. Right? Does that make sense? So that's important. Because that element then is there, it should be considered. Right? Like that. Section 73. Vaishampayana continued. King Dushmanta, hearing all this, said, well spoken, O princess, this thou hast said. Be my wife, O beautiful one. What shall I do for thee? Golden garlands, robes, earrings of gold, white and handsome pearls from various countries, golden coins, finest carpets, I shall present thee this very day. Let the whole of my kingdom be thine today. O beautiful one, come to me. O timid one, wedding me, O beautiful one, according to the Gandharva form. O thou of tapering thighs, of all forms of marriage, the Gandharva one is regarded as the first. It's regarded as the first in that you know that both the boy and the girl are attracted to each other. Therefore, they will both make the endeavor to make the relationship work. Right? That's how it's considered first on the way of that element of rasa. But as far as the element of dharma, it's not considered first at all. It's considered a marriage with a fault because its only basis is attraction. Right? So the animal attraction on the animal platform is considered the best because there's mutual attraction. But on the human platform is considered has fault. Right? Yes.
Why Minaka just left her on the back of the river.
Why did she leave her on the back? Because she knew that that was where Kanva Muni was, would go. Because every day he would come to bathe there. So therefore... I'm not sure it was a...
What?
Huh?
Spider.
Oh, okay, then no problem. As long as it wasn't a bee. Spiders don't harass. Does that make sense? She knew, that'll come up later, is that she knew that that was the place. Because they're society girls. They just take care of these things. In the heavenly planets, they won't get pregnant. That only happens here, you know, because the lower consciousness, like that. So then yeah. So their thing is not kids, right? So that's also a symptom of, it's more of a society girl complex, is that they want to have the intimacy, but they don't want to have the kids. They don't like the kids. It's not considered very elevated, not very religious. Because human life's meant for religion, it brings that out. So we see Krishna comes as a human, not as a demigod. Right? Because that's where the rasa is happening, as a human. Right? So, because the element of dharma then ensures that all the various aspects are there, because the good and the bad is all taken. Well, in the heavenly planets, they only want the good. Right? That's why they go there. So it's not complete rasa. You understand? It's not complete. So he's saying it's the best, because also this is a previous age, so the Kshatriyas could use the Gandharva rite. Yeah? Means in Kali, up to Kali Yuga, then it can be used. But otherwise, in Kali Yuga, even the Kshatriyas don't use this rite. Because then here it's the attraction, it means that the religiousness, this is, let's say, the Gandharva rite becomes considered good here, because it's based on persons who are righteous being attracted to each other. Does that make sense? So they're so righteous that because they're married, even as Gandharva rite, they will be committed to each other for life. Right? Does that make sense? Well, in this age, just because someone's attractive doesn't mean that in any way that they're committed at all. So that's why it's not used in this age. Does that make sense? One could say, well, what if someone is religious? But the sages are smarter than that, because they know in this age people are not necessarily that committed. You understand? So it fits the time, place, circumstance. Yeah?
I have a question. It seems to me that you are a Kshatriya, you're a native of a Brahmana. How did a marriage take place?
How would he marry? You'll see that the difference between a Kshatriya and Brahmana is very minor. Because they both study the Shastra, they go to the Gurukul, their value is in Shastra, everything they do must be based on Shastra, like that. You know, like here, he's regarded as the first, he's quoting Shastra, he doesn't say just, hey, I like you, let's get married. He's quoting Shastra, right? He wants to know her origin, because he wants to know, she's very beautiful, he wants to know who she is. You know, how is she the daughter of Kanva Muni? He's a brahmachari. Right, so how does this brahmachari have a daughter? You know, so he wants to know all these things. So then, having heard all these things, now he's saying, so then it's proper, right? The difference is the Brahmin doesn't get involved in all the political, diplomatic, all these different kind of things, while the Kshatriya will. You understand? In other words, they both know the same thing. One will use it more for teaching and training and more contemplation and personal development, and the other uses it for managing society. Does that make sense?
Brahmana's daughter, wife, the lady coming from Brahmana class, then she's respected as a guru's wife.
But that's his guru's wife, but that's only means the girl takes on the position of the husband. You understand? So that's what is her inherent nature, that's her father's nature. Right? So therefore she's a Brahmin. Right? But if she marries a Kshatriya, then she has the social standing of a Kshatriya. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? If she's married to a Brahmin and a Kshatriya approaches her, then that is approaching a guru's wife. You understand? But she's not married, so therefore it doesn't have that.
Yayati,
yeah.
Same issue,
no? No, but the point is she wasn't married. So if Brahmins and Kshatriyas get married, it's not such a big deal. That happens a lot. And also we see that Kshatriyas many times produce Brahmins. Like Bharat Maharaj, he had 100 sons, right? No, Rishabdev had 100 sons. Of them, 80 of them were Brahmins, right? 9 of them were Kshatriyas and 11 of them were Paramahamsas, right? So they didn't even function within Varnashram. So that means 9 out of 100 actually were Kshatriyas. So it's not uncommon, because of their consciousness and Shastra and everything like that, that they will get Brahmins. You know what I'm saying? So that's why they go by guna and karma in the Vedic. It's that you're treated like that until you prove yourself otherwise. In other words, if you're born in a Kshatriya family, you're dealt as a Kshatriya unless you prove you have some different quality. But if you do prove, then you're taken like that. Does that make sense? Yes. Vishwamitra is a Kshatriya. Yeah, you could say like that. He was a Kshatriya. But he was acting in this time as a Brahmin. Right? I mean, that was his occupation now. But at the same time, is that attraction that was there probably came up from the Kshatriya background. Right? Like that. So, whatever. These are complex aspects. Shakuntala, hearing this, said, O king, my father hath gone away from this asylum to bring fruit. Right, he's just gone out to pick some fruit for a couple hours. Right? So, wait but a moment, he will bestow me upon thee. Dushmanta replied, O beautiful and faultless one, I desire that thou shouldest be my life's companion. Know thou that I exist for thee, and my heart is in thee. One is certainly one's own friend, and one certainly may depend upon one's own self. Therefore, according to the ordinance, thou canst certainly bestow thyself. There are in all 8 kinds of marriage. There are Brahmana, Daiva, Arsha, Prajapatya, Asura, Gandharva, Rakshasa, and Paisacha, the 8th. Manu, he's quoting Manu here. The son of the self-create has spoken of the appropriateness of all these forms according to their order. Know, O faultless one, that the first 4 of these are fit for Brahmanas. Right? That means the Brahmana, Daiva, Arsha, and Prajapatya. Because in all of those, the father gives away the girl. Right? And the first 6 for Kshatriyas. In other words, the Rakshasa and the Gandharva. That plus the Rakshasa and Gandharva work for Kshatriyas. As regards kings, even the Rakshasa form is permissible. The Asura form is permitted to Vaishyas and Shudras. Asura means that you pay money for the girl. Right? Like that. So those are not, basically, are forbidden. Those last 2 are just, by Manu just said, are not to be used. But if a Vaishya or Shudra uses them, it's not sinful. But it's not in any way recommended. It won't give good children. Of the first 5, the 3 are proper, the other 2 being improper. So Brahma, Daiva, and Arsha are the best. Okay. The Paisach and the Asura form should never be practiced. Right? It says it can be used for that, but they shouldn't be practiced. You know what I'm saying? In other words, if a Vaishya or Shudra uses them, it won't be sinful, but it's in no way recommended. That doesn't mean it should be done. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, we won't recommend that you eat smearing it all over your whole body, right? But if a child does it, you know, no one's going to say anything. But will anybody say it's good? No. But they do it, so what to do? Does that make sense? So it's not it's okay, but it's like that. These are the institutes of religion, and one should act according to them. So here, Prajapati is not considered so good. Unless he's doing it in that way. Because there the girl has to choose the boy herself. Right? Yes. What is paisach? Paisach means when the girl is asleep or disoriented or in some kind of way as she's vulnerable, then the boy just comes and takes it. So she wasn't willing, it just happened. So, in other words, it's happening without really her consent, or at least conscious consent, you know. You know what I'm saying? So it's not a strong relationship. So the whole thing is based on rasa, on relationship. So when the father gives the daughter, then that's considered the best. Prajapatya means the girl herself has chosen without the father's arrangement. So that's not considered as good. It means the father is approving, but it's second. It's not as good as Brahma, where the father chooses. It means, in other words, chooses here means it's not necessarily that the daughter doesn't have a say. It means it's with his arrangement. He's arranging it. He may say, okay, we have these boys, which would you like one of them? That's still Brahma, right? Or you have a priest performing the yajna for the father, and then he sees that the priest is a very nice boy, and then asks the daughter, would you like to marry him? And then, like that. Prajapatya means the girl on her own makes her own arrangements with her own people, not the father. Once it's arranged, then it will be presented for the father to his approval. Right? That's not considered as good. Does that make sense? What's the difference? Yes. Say again? Savitri. No, but was with her father's arrangement that she went out and chose herself. So it's like a combination between that, but it's still father's arrangement. Like a Swayamvar is like Prajapatya in that she's choosing, but the father is arranging the Swayamvar. And what I'm meaning is she, through her own friends and, you know, relatives, then she catches somebody and makes the arrangement, see if it's going to work and all that. Then it's presented to the father. You know what I'm saying? In other words, the father can't make the arrangement, so the girl does it herself. Right? If the father can make and is making, then she can either, he'll do everything, or she can also then take some part in it. You know, she can make the decision. So making the decision is not the point, it's who's arranging it. You know, it's just like, let us say, your father is taking you out and he takes you to a restaurant, and then he says, what do you want to eat? But you still take it that my father's taking me to the restaurant. Just because you chose what you ate doesn't mean it's there. But if without the father you make the arrangement, call up on the phone and tell what pizza you want delivered, like that, and then afterwards, you know, he says, what are you doing? Oh, I was calling out for a pizza, right? So then he says, oh, okay. So it's approved, but it's your arrangement. So he's not really part of it. But it's approved. But it doesn't have the rasa of the daughter and father. You understand? You understand? It means, in other words, it's sutta instead of priya. Yes?
And it came up to you that the boy was really meeting with really actually trying to please the girl and making all these people complaints to her and saying that I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, just please be married.
Yeah.
Is it actually proper? Or
is it proper to say all these things? Is it supposed to be like that? If you really want to know, I mean, you want to hear what you want to hear, or do you want to hear the truth? The point is if he doesn't do all this, it won't work. Right? Means for women, means man is I. Right? And what's the complementary to that? What's the feminine of I? What's the other one?
Mine.
Mine means possession. So that means without all this. Okay, these are things that she will get. In other words, this is the status she'll be put in. But of that, then this very day means it's immediate. It's at the moment. It's not something in the future. It's happening. It's dynamic. Then, where is it? That is the facilities, right? That's going to be created, right? The kingdom. So thou here, I exist for thee, and the heart is in thee. And then where is the other one? He also said the whole kingdom. Let the whole of my kingdom be thine today. Right? So it's important to understand this thing is that in here is things are important, right? Things are the what man has, right? Because things are existence. Right? Does that make sense? The place is existence. So the environment in which rasa will happen, right? The locative, that's the existence in which one is. But what's important is the verb. You understand? Thinking, feeling, willing. That's how the mind works, right? Man, it's I exist, I do something, I get a result. Right? That's how the intelligence works. But the feminine of the mind is I exist, I want this, therefore I act for that. Right? Because I can do it, I do it. Right? You know, it's just like how do you say it? This one guy was there. They took a monstrous I'm not sure if it wasn't a rocket engine and put it on a motorcycle. Right? Ridiculous, dangerous thing. And then the reporter asks the man that did it, why did you do this? What was your inspiration? And his answer was, because it can be done. You understand? So that's the masculine, is that I exist, I could do this, then I will get that result. So it's based on their existence. But the woman's inspiration for active action is not existence, it's attachment. You understand? So because this goal can be achieved, therefore there's action. Right? But the common point between two persons is the activity, not the result. Results outside of the relationship. You understand? So when women always talk about things, it's not because the thing is important. What's important is the activity that will go on, the mood, the relationship in getting the thing. Does that make sense? So the man is thinking, I'm doing the activity, she's mentioned the thing, I perform an activity, it gets me a thing, therefore getting the thing is what's important. And then they can't understand why the lady is frustrated. Right? But it's not the thing itself, it's not getting the thing, it's the endeavor to get it that's important. Right? So that he can present a whole kingdom or this or that means that that kind of endeavor will be there. So it's not the things that are impressive. That's there for social status. That has nothing to do with them. That's between her and the other women. Right? The things, as man thinks, the rasa between me and the lady is the thing. No, that's the rasa between the lady and other ladies. Right? The rasa between her and the man is the activity of getting the thing. Right? The thing may remind you of the person, like that. That's there. It has this element of the past, right? So that's why past is important. Or we will get this future, right? But these are all verbs, right? Past, present, and future is the verb. So that means, because activity, the abhideya is where I and mine meet. Does that make sense? So the subject and object meet at the verb. So while the verb is in action, that's where rasa is tasted. Does that make sense? So all these things are show that rasa is there. He's got the right, he means the things are there, he's got the right mood, right? And he mentioned place, I mean time, which is now. So all the three aspects of the verb have been done, right? There's the time, the mood, and the accomplishment. Right? So it's complete. You understand? So you're asking why all this? Because that's what a verb is. So that a relationship is based on those three. Someone has to be confident that all those three are there. Then it works. You see a direct example right here. Yes? Does that make sense?
Should the boy approach the girl,
the girl approach the boy? The best is that it's the father of the girl approaches the boy's family. That's the best. That's religious. But if you're talking rasa, then it's the boy approaching the girl. It means to arrange it is there, but in the relationship, the girl is looking for the boy to be active because he's the active one. He's the subject. Subject is doing the activity, right? The subject is applying the verb on the object, right? So it's expected that the boy is going to be the active one and the girl is going to be the passive one. Right here? Does that make sense? Are you guys catching this stuff? Does that make sense? Right? So that's what's expected. So girls are only active because the boy is not. In other words, if a girl is very active in trying to make the relationship work, that's because the boy is being an idiot. Right? So it shouldn't be the guy's thinking, yes, I'm so great, the girl's coming after me. It means you're so stupid that she has to come after you because you're being an idiot and not being a man. So she's got to do it. Right? She's got to be the subject, and you're the object. So that's the thing. I want to be the man, but I want to be the object. But the object's feminine. Object is the one on who the verb is being done. Yes, I'm being served, I'm being this, I'm the big guy, but that means you're the object. You know what I'm saying? There'll be reciprocation in that, but the boy's supposed to be the subject, the girl's supposed to be the object. It doesn't mean that the object doesn't reciprocate to the subject. But it's only after the subject has acted first. Then the object will reciprocate. But this idea is that I will do something once and eternally the object will reciprocate, that doesn't make sense. I will pay 1 rupee and I will get my banana, and then every time I go to the shop, I say, hey, where's my banana? And the guy says, well, where's your rupee? What do you mean? I paid you 1 rupee 3 years ago. You know? I deserve bananas eternally. No, you pay 1 rupee, you get your banana. You know what I'm saying? You know, you've done service, that you get a reciprocation. You've done something for them, you get a reciprocation. I've given the whole kingdom. Okay, so then what else is there to give? You know, it has to be going on and on. It has to continue. Does that make sense? Yes? No? Okay. So here's also an example how Mahabharata is the essence, right? Because it's giving out of here the whole what Dharma Shastra, what Manu has to say about marriage. Because this is exact Manu. Right? Plus it gives something that Manu didn't give. Manu didn't say that the first three were better than the next ones. Right? Here he doesn't point that out. So he's pointed out here. So this is where he says, whatever is in the Shastra, you'll find in the Mahabharata. But what's in the Mahabharata, you may not find in the other Shastras. Here's an example. Yeah. Okay. And also he's pointing out this thing is that you're your own friend. Right? Because, how you say, you have the conditioned nature, you have the soul. So then with that you interact. Right? Because you can sit there yourself and have conversations with yourself, interact with yourself, inspire yourself. You know what I'm saying? You can do all this kind of thing. So therefore, you are your best friend. Right? So in this way, then, the friend, you can, as your friend, you can give yourself away. Does that make sense? So he's bringing this up. You know, I mean, it would be nice, of course, if he had waited till the father came. But, you know, because he didn't, because of that attachment, you'll see there's trouble. Right? And he'll get the trouble. That's why it says attachment will always bring trouble. All trouble that there is in the universe comes from attachment. I, mine. Dear attachment. Okay. We'll leave the subtleties for you to connect there. Okay. Thou needest not entertain the least fear. There is not the least doubt that either according to any one of these last mentioned forms or according to a union of both of them, our wedding may take place. Right? In other words, by Rakshasa he could just take her, or Gandharva, or that combination. It doesn't matter. O thou with the fairest complexion, full of desire I am, thou also in a similar mood mayest become my wife according to the Gandharva form. In other words, if she has desire, then they can become married according to Gandharva rite. Shakuntala, having listened to all this, answered, if this be the course sanctioned by religion, if indeed I am my own disposer, hear, O thou foremost of the Puru's race, what my terms are. Right? She's saying, if all this is true, in other words, if it's based on Shastra, this is all correct, then this is my individual nature within it. Right? In other words, you have a generic state that is given by Shastra, then you have the particular, nature of the individual within that, right? Then you have the application of that nature according to the time, place, and circumstance, right? As we mentioned before, the verb, right? Just makes sense. You all catch this? You understand why we're saying it through grammar, right? Because grammar is something fixed you can relate to. You know, you can see it in a fixed way. Because relationships are expressed through language, so that means language must be able to express everything that there is in relationships. So we can express the relationship through language, right? One is used to, like, as poems and that to you, but also we can technically describe relationship through language, or we can describe language through relationship. Does that make sense? Yes, no? So you're learning a lot more. When you learn grammar here, you're learning how relationships function. You're not just learning some little dinky things that are in a little train, and here's the verb and the noun and the adverb and all that, and they all connect together and all something like that. No. That's for the impersonalists, right? Personalists understand it's based on rasa, right? And even though that rasa may be shanta, where nothing's happening, but it's still rasa. Does that make sense? Right? So unless there's existence, you can't have the other rasas. All the other rasas are based on shanta, right? In other words, you appreciate something in the other person. Then rasa can happen. That's why someone you don't appreciate, you can't have a relationship with. Right? Only if you can appreciate something, then you can have a relationship. That's why, then if there's not a relationship with somebody, the first thing you're trying to establish is some quality that you can appreciate. Because if you can do, then you can build a relationship on it, right? So existence, or satta, in the verb is the first place it starts. Then on top of that, then you add the servitorship, friendship, parental, and conjugal. Does that make sense? Those can function on top of that. If you don't exist, how are you going to get something done, right? Something that exists, you have an existing potato, you can make a sabji. But if a potato doesn't exist, how are you going to make it? Does that make sense? Yes? No?
Yes.
Very good? Yes? Okay. Okay. Then, okay. Promise truly, this is her terms, to give me what I ask thee. Right? Notice she won't tell what it is. You have to agree first. Here she's saying first. The son that shall be begotten on me shall become thy heir apparent. This, O king, is my fixed resolve, O Dushmanta. If thou grant this, then let our union take place. In other words, here you can see she's a Brahmin or Kshatriya in that. In other words, if this is not there, I'm not interested. I may have desire, I may be interested, but if it's not right, because she is born of Vishwamitra, who, as a Kshatriya, he's emperor of the world. Dushmanta is emperor of the world, but he was emperor of the world. Now, this person has become a Brahma Rishi, right? And not only that, then her mother is Menaka. So why should her son be second to any earthly lady's child? Does that make sense? In other words, her child has to be, in other words, she's saying she is the first queen. And it's her child that's going to be heir. Not someone else. Right? Because otherwise then she just becomes another girl in his, another queen. But her point is I'll become your wife, but I become the queen, and my son becomes the prince. Right? The Yuvaraj. Right? Does that make sense? So this then this, by doing this also, now why would this also be done? is one, it would be a thing, prestige. If a relationship is there, that's important, then that's nice. It doesn't matter, right? If you could say, if she's really attached to him, him to her, who, what does it matter? If her son is this or that. One is, of course, the prestige amongst the other women, because she being of celestial birth, it would be very annoying to be taken as second rate amongst human-born women, right? That would be one thing. So amongst that. But as far as her relationship with Dushmanta, shouldn't matter. But here is the test, right? Because the part of the king's existence is my son. And so that this existence will be adjusted to accommodate her, that's very big for women. Very, very big. You know what I'm saying? In other words, that you're willing to give up something that is so important to you, right? Just like if I say, yes, I will make him, for you, I will make him the king. You know, his other son. Right? I will do this for you. But that's what you want to do. But you happen to be doing it and saying in her name. You'll think of her while you do it. But you're doing what you want to do. So then sometimes the test means you either have to do something you don't want to do or do something that they want to do. Then it's tested, do you really have attachment? Right? So now she can test his attachment, how much it is. If it's just, you know, another passing phase. Right? He's a Kshatriya, he's passionate, he's gotten so much desire. Okay, great. But now it's being tested. Does that make sense? So this test then that you're seeing is that, is he willing to give up, is now this relationship, is she so important as he says, my heart is in thee. If your heart is in thee, naturally you'd want her son to be the king. Does this make sense? Yeah? Okay. So that also is sometimes a test of something that's against your nature they'll ask you to do. And it's not that that's what's important to them. What's important to them is the commitment to do it. It's commitment, that's all. Right? Because commitment is existence. Right? And feminine is dependent upon the existence of the masculine. Does that make sense? So if the existence isn't there, what are they connected to? Right? There's no flagpole, what's the flag connected to? Right? So just making sure that it's solid. Does that make sense? Okay. Okay, Vaishampayana continued, the monarch, without taking time to consider, at once told her, let it be so, right? He didn't consider it. When he gets back to the palace, he already has so many arrangements and so many queens or whatever it is that they're there, that, you know, this is going to make some trouble, right? I will even take thee, O thou of agreeable smiles, with me to my capital. Tell me truly, O beautiful one. Otherwise he'd marry her, she'd stay in the ashram with her father. It's another, just like Arjuna. You had, snake? Ulupi? Right, she just stayed with the snake. She didn't come to the palace. Or Babruga Hans, mother? Chitrangada. Yeah, she didn't come to the palace. She stayed with her father. So, you know, it could be that. They're married, they have their child, it's bona fide, but she doesn't. So he's saying, I'll even take you to the capital. Means, therefore, you'll be there and it'll be obvious. I tell thee truly, O beautiful one, thou deservest all this. And so saying, the first of kings wedded the handsome Shakuntala of graceful gait and knew her as a husband. And assuring her duly, he went away, telling her repeatedly, I shall send thee for thy escort, my troops of four classes. Another four classes? What are the four classes? Yes. Yes. Yes? Okay. Okay. Indeed, it is even thus that I shall take thee to my capital, O thou of sweet smiles. Vaishampayana continued, O Janamejaya, having promised so unto her, the king went away. And as he retraced his way homewards, he began to think of Kasyapa. And he asked himself, what will the illustrious ascetic say after he has known all? Thinking of this, he entered his capital. The moment the king had left, Kanva arrived at his abode, right? Still didn't wait around, right? But Shakuntala, from a sense of shame, did not go out to receive her father. Right? Because of relationship, right? He went through with this. It's bona fide, but still there is the consideration of the relationship. That great ascetic, however, possessed of spiritual knowledge, knew all. Indeed, beholding everything with his spiritual eye, the illustrious one was pleased, and addressing her said, "Amiable one, what hath been done by thee today in secret without having waited for me, namely, your connection with a man, hath not been destructive of thy virtue. Indeed, union according to the Gandharva form of a wishful woman with a man of sensual desire, without mantras of any kind, it is said, is the best for Kshatriyas." Right? Because then it's just full passion. Right? But the point is, you know, as devotees, we're talking about going back to Godhead. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? That best of men, Dushmanta, is also high-souled and virtuous. Thou hast, O Shakuntala, accepted him for thy husband. The son that shall be born of thee shall be mighty and illustrious in this world, and he shall have sway over the sea. And the forces of that illustrious king of kings, while he goeth out against his foes, shall be irresistible. Right? So she's giving blessings that he'll be emperor of the world and be very powerful. No one will be able to defeat him. Shakuntala then approached her fatigued father and washed his feet. And taking down the load he had with him and placing the fruits in proper order, she told him, "It behooveth thee to give thy grace to that Dushmanta, whom I have accepted for my husband as well as his ministers." Right? So coming in, she's not reciprocating, so rather than go about his normal duties and that, he immediately, on the spot, he's still carrying the basket and standing there. Then he says, "No, everything's fine, everything's okay." In other words, the existence is established. Right? The relationship is there. He's comfortable with it. It's fine. You don't have to worry. Then she knows now how to connect again with him in the relationship, right? So then she comes, washes feet, takes down the basket and all that. But now, because now the husband is hers, now she says, "You're giving blessing to me. You also have to give to him because he's mine." Right? Yes. Yeah. No, they would say, "Oh, you didn't tell me this and that." But his point is that it's good, it works, it's fine. He's left out, it doesn't matter because it's according to the rites, it's fine. Right? But now he's giving his blessings and all that. Their relationship goes on just as it was. Right? As a girl, it's natural she get married, go away. So this is the arrangement, then fine. Right? In other words, if something's bona fide, then rather than get on the case because one is left out, because one's existence wasn't doubted by this, because this wasn't the consideration, it was a Gandharva marriage. If she had arranged one of the other sages to give her away and there was a Brahma marriage, then you could say, "I'm the father, why did you leave me out?" But this is a Gandharva rite, he's not part of Gandharva rite. Right? He's the father. So therefore it was fine. Does that make sense? Right? I'm not saying Gandharva's fine now, we're just saying, we're talking about the Shastra principles here. So therefore, he wouldn't get disturbed by something that is outside the circle of his, you know what I'm saying? Like the boy is playing with his friends. The mother shouldn't be disturbed. "Oh, you're playing with your friends, you don't care about me." No. Boy is supposed to have friends, he plays with friends. Then when it's time to be with the mother, then he's with the mother, right? He's with the mother now, otherwise how is she saying, "You don't care about me"? Right? But why is she saying, "You don't care about me"? Because he is with her. Him with his friends is a completely different topic. Does that make sense? Of course, if he's dealing with his friends in an inappropriate way that will show badly on her, yes, that's improper. But that's what Kanda's saying. This is appropriate. It's according to Shastra. It's been done well. You're qualified. He's qualified. Everything was nice. So therefore, nothing was wrong. So he's approving it. Does that make sense? That's important in relationships. Yeah? Her position.
If she would do something wrong, he wouldn't ask him, wouldn't start like getting on her case, but would say everything is alright. Like that, then later when everything is normal, then she would ask him, ask everything, she's safe.
Yeah.
Then he would ask me later that
Yeah.
But it wasn't the best.
Yeah, yeah. So that's there. But then that would be brought up there, but it's done, so it's there. And it's bona fide. This in this age, that is bona fide. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because she's already feeling bad. So that she's feeling shy then means that that's already there's something there she feels there. So therefore, he should make her feel comfortable. Then if there's something, then he can point it out. That's what you're meaning. Yeah, yeah. No, that's a good point. Right, so it says, so he wants him to bless the husband and his ministers because the king is hers and the ministers are his. So technically they're all in a line there. Kanwa replied, O thou of the fairest complexion, for thy sake I am inclined to bless him. Means for you. I have a relationship with you. I don't know. Like that. It's not my business to bless kings. But because of you, then I will bless. But receive from me, O blessed one, the boon that thou desirest. Vaishapayana continued, Shakuntala thereupon, moved by desire of benefiting Dushmanta, asked the boon that the Paurava monarch might be virtuous and never deprived of their thrones. Paurava, you know, because Puru, so that whole line. So we can see it lasted down to this time of the Pandavas, like that. Section 84. Okay. Vaishampayana said, after Dushmanta had left the asylum, having made those promises unto Shakuntala, the latter of tapering thighs brought forth a boy of immeasurable energy. And when the child was 3 years old, right, this is what he used to do for fun, right? He became in splendor like the blazing fire. And O Janamejaya, he was possessed of beauty and magnanimity and every accomplishment, right? Magnanimity at 3 years old, right? Think about it, right? Yes? What's magnanimity? Means he's kind to others and willing to give to others and, you know, concede for others or do things for others, right? In other words, he's not self-centered. So at 3 years old, generally you think of 3 year old as being completely self-centered, right? But here at 3 years old, he's able to be kind to the others, right? Does that make sense? So this is a great person. And every accomplishment, right? He was good. And that first of virtuous men, Kanva, caused all the rites of religion to be performed in respect of that intelligent child, thriving day by day. And the boy gifted with pearly teeth and shining locks, right? It means hair is shiny, it's not dull, teeth are nice and white. Capable of slaying lions even then at three. With all auspicious signs on his palm and broad, expansive forehead. Right? Broad, expansive means intelligent, right? Man's forehead is very broad and wide, like that. Grew up in beauty and strength. And like unto a celestial child in splendor, he began to grow up rapidly. And when he was only 6 years of age, endued with great strength, he used to seize and bind to the trees that stood around that asylum, lions and tigers and bears and buffaloes and elephants. Right? So he's 6 years old, he'd go up and catch them and tie them up to trees and stuff like that. You know, just keep them tied up around the ashram. Right? But, endued with great strength, he used to... And he rode on some animals, and he pursued others in sportive mood, right? They're running away, and he's running after them. Right? The dwellers at Kanva's asylum thereupon bestowed upon him a name. And they said, because he seizes and restrains all animals, however strong, let him be called Sarvadhamana, the subduer of all. And it was thus that the boy came to be known as Sarvadhamana, endued as he was with prowess and energy and strength. And the rishi, seeing the boy and marking also his extraordinary acts, told Shakuntala that the time had come for his installation as the heir apparent, right? Because he's supposed to be the heir apparent. So now he grows up because it doesn't matter at this point. The king, whether he grows up in the palace or grows out outside, it doesn't matter. Like we see the Pandavas, they're there, and they grew up in the forest with the sages. But then after the father died, they were of age, then it was time to go to the palace, right? When it was time to be trained in the martial sciences and the diplomacy and the other Shastric elements like that, then he goes to the palace, right? Does that make sense? So, therefore, this time one could say, well, why didn't he go before? Didn't matter. You know, so what better place to grow up than in the ashram with all the sages and everything like that? Does that make sense? Plus, in the palace, how many elephants do you have to tie to trees, right? You know, so. And those are already tame elephants, right? These are wild ones, right? So. Okay, now I think we'll continue tomorrow on this. Any questions on this? Because now tomorrow we'll hear to go to the palace and then what happens at the palace. Okay. Some questions? Comments? Yes?
Why did he say that he'll send the four classes?
Why did he say he'll send the four classes? Because that's a full retinue. Right? Because then it's a full army. So that's more prestigious. You're going with a full army. That means what would you send a full army for? Unless it's very valuable, right? The king goes, or something very valuable to the king goes. So then this shows that she's the most valuable to the king. So then he would send a retinue like that, right? Because point is the man is supposed to protect the woman. So it's within his power to protect in this way, so why he wouldn't? Right? In other words, the experience should be complete, whatever it is. Does that make sense? Yeah. Your question? Yes?
You mentioned three things that has to be done, or things to get done with endeavor, time.
There's the time, the mood, and the accomplishment. Okay? You didn't learn this in grammar. Huh? They didn't learn this in grammar? Oh. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama.